Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
As the kids would say, bangers only. That was a banger of a game. Welcome in, everybody, to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram, your home field advantage for trusted service and unbeatable prices. Interesting game. Sorry, I apologize. My mouth is making weird noises. I literally realized I have not eaten anything today. I just had some beef jerky, and it's like, you know, it's in your mouth or whatever. Today was chaos, really, from start to finish. I'm trying to figure out the best place to start. I didn't really prepare for this because I was at my dad's wedding, which was in between post-game and the overtime show. So congratulations to my old man, Dan Geary, for getting married today. I don't really have a lot of words for what Trey White did, and I think that's probably the best way to start this game, start this post-game show, because for me, a couple of things stand out from this game, one of which is Josh Allen is once again in the biggest moments showing why he is truly one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and really maybe ever. And I know we all, you know, week in and week out get caught up in this, conversation that the national media constantly wants to have. I love what Jeremy said this morning with me on Buffalo Bills game day about, like, you know, there's not a lot to talk about because we can't talk about Lamar Jackson's legacy. We can't talk about, Joe Burrow's legacy. And there's nothing, the Mahomes-Allen conversation is squashed because he's not in the playoffs. So all of the, you know, takes that you'd have for those three guys are all sort of being burdened on to Josh Allen. And, you know, this week, just completely asinine, terrible, unforgivable takes from guys like Ryan Clark. And, there are others, but his was the most egregious to me. Like, no matter what happens, under no circumstance will it not be Josh Allen's fault if the Bills don't win. Well, how about going 80%? I saw a true completion percentage of, he had three off-target balls today on 35 attempts. It's one of the best, given the context of this game, against that defense. Now, they are not the same pass defense as they are. They are the number one run defense in football. They're really more middle of the road in terms of pass defense. But what Josh Allen was able to do tonight, against that defense and that front with Gabriel Davis, consequential or not, going out in this game down to four receivers. After, I mean, frankly, at times overcoming some really questionable play calls again. And I know we will get down that rabbit hole at some point this week when we get bored of talking about how unbelievable Josh Allen was in this game. But 28 of 35, 300 plus total yards, three touchdowns. The way this game ended, you know, them needing to have two touchdown drives, one of which early in this game, their first touchdown going 92 yards. I mean, the moments, the context of which in which Josh Allen operated today, to me, is the most impressive piece to what we're going to talk about today, tonight, and moving forward into whomever they play over the next, you know, 7 days. But doing it against this defense on this stage, the way he was just getting absolutely beaten, I mean, it felt unfair at times early in this game. Just the knee looked like 90% of guys, that's a torn ACL, right? The injury early on where he goes to the tent with a head injury. I mean, his helmet like goes sideways and someone's sitting on his head. It's remarkable what he's able to do week in and week out when the clock turns, when the calendar turns to February and the best is needed from Josh Allen. He answers the bell time and time again. Did he play great 2 weeks ago against the Eagles? No, he didn't. And I think that week off, Joe Brady and him both talked about self-scouting during the bye week, or, you know, quote unquote, his bye week. I'm not telling you I think it's paid dividends, but the guy was just so money tonight in every facet of the game, whether it was running the football, setting protections, things that are difficult to do in this stage against that defense. Just hats off. The injuries this team, right? Jordan Poyer goes out. And, you know, the defense, I felt really kind of confident, a quiet confidence going into this game, the way they'd been playing over the last month or two, stopping the run. They had some moments in this game. I thought for sure that if Liam Cohen was going to turn around and hand the ball off all game, that it was a huge mistake. And I thought it was coaching malpractice, the way that early on you could tell Trevor Lawrence was playing in this game. The goods that Trevor Lawrence had was not his A game. I would say it's probably not even his B game. Just, there wasn't, and I know Mike said this, and I'm not going to repeat everything he said, but I agree with this, which is there wasn't enough Allen versus Lawrence for me for this to be a game that Lawrence needed to be as good, if not better, than Josh Allen to win this game. And he wasn't. And in the biggest moments, I mean, absolutely failed. I'm just watching. Sorry, I'm getting a little distracted watching AJ Brown and the Eagles head coach go at it one another on the sidelines. Interesting stuff. But Trevor Lawrence today, I think, probably solidified a lot of the haters that were wondering whether or not the stage would be too big. I was never one of the people that thought, well, it was going to be the stage and he wasn't going to have the goods in order to go up against Josh Allen and beat him. And I thought really early on you could tell just the way the ball was spinning off his hand that it just wasn't going to be his day. And sort of yet, they were able to find their way. I thought that, like, at halftime, Liam Cohen's with Tracy Wolfson, like, yeah, you know, we really need to be running the ball. It's like, you know, throwing the football. We're having great success on the ground, but we're really not committing to it. It's like, you call the plays, man. And I think for me, them and their unwillingness to commit to the run, even as I'm sort of eating crow on that, because I thought them committing to the run and taking the ball out of the hands of Trevor Lawrence was a surefire way to play right into what the Bills wanted to do. I thought it was coaching malpractice not to continue running the ball once they started having success against this Bills defense. And, you know, just like every NFL game always seems to have, at least games against two good opponents in the Bills and the Jaguars, the momentum sort of waning back and forth. And I thought that at times it was about to get away from the Bills and then Josh Allen, the offense, would make a play and sort of coming back. And, you know, the other piece to this is obviously the referees, which, you know, and I started talking about wanting to talk about Trey White, and we'll get to Trey White in a second because I think it's the best story in the NFL right now. But it's hard. in these games, and I'm glad in hindsight we get to talk about one of the worst refereed games, not start to finish, but moments that I've seen in a really long time on a stage like this in the playoffs. And I'm happy we get to talk about this in a Bills win because, man, oh, man. You know, a couple weeks ago, the Bills beat the Patriots, and I'm not going to be, I mean, I'm a sports talk radio host. I can be a little critical of the referees and say they certainly didn't throw the flag a whole bunch in this game. They had two penalties for 10 yards in this game, and there were holding calls upon holding calls that could have easily been called in this game against the Jaguars on big plays that just simply were missed or not called. And the play at before the half, I think, is a microcosm of what is wrong with the NFL as it stands right now. Not a serious league about getting things right. The entire NFL world is watching this game. And for you to miss that call, and it's not like one of these things where, you know, in the media now we can have a video or a picture and nobody can seem to agree on what is actually happening in the video and picture. There was almost anyone outside of the zip code of Duval would tell you, and probably a lot of Jaguars fans would even admit this, that there was no way that snap was gotten off before the clock hit zero, regardless of whether or not Joey Bosa was offsides. And that's not even to mention what Eric Wood was mentioning on this broadcast, which I thought was the most egregious part. They were not set for a full second in order for them to get that playoff legally. There are so many, just in that one moment, ways the league went wrong. And no explanation from the referees. Just, he was offsides. The play can't end. The half can't end on a defensive penalty. We're going to kick this field goal. I thought that in that moment, that could have cost the Bills a game. If Cam Little, and of course, the ball don't lie, right? Ball doesn't lie. He misses the field goal. But if it's a 10-10 game at halftime, this game ended on 3 points. And the league almost gifted the Jacksonville Jaguars 3 points in this game because they can't watch video correctly. The inconsistency to me is maddening. And you have Gene Steratore on during the early part of this game where it's the Trevor Lawrence 4th-and-2 play and he's clearly short. And Gene, and I think it was Romo that asked, well, Gene, do you think the league's, you think the upstairs is going to come down and make, well, no, of course not, Tony. It was called on the field. So what do you mean, of course not, Gene? Nobody knows the fucking rule. Like, give me a break. It's like they make this stuff up as they go along. And I certainly am happy that multiple bad calls in this game didn't hurt the Bills enough for them to lose. Because this whole show in a Bills loss by three or a, tied game going into overtime and the Bills losing overtime because the league can't get the most obvious stuff correct is so maddening to me. A $1 billion league. We're just asking you to do the really easy stuff, like watch a screen and get the call right. That's all we're asking. So, I don't want to make the whole show about me screaming about the referees because the Bills won and they're advancing and it was a lot of great storylines from this game. But holy crap, man, the league has got to figure out how to be consistent at the only thing they're asked to do during these games, which is referee it fairly and unbiasedly. And man, did it not feel rigged at the halfway mark of this game. It's hard, man. We're in the era of betting. And I'm sure there's going to be a betting read that I have in this show. And I love making parlays with the best of them. But, man, I just need the league to get the obvious stuff right all the time. They need to be batting 1,000. And they borderline can't get it halfway right. So, gosh, I hope that the 49ers tonight or the Chargers tonight or one of these teams in the playoffs don't get boned by some terrible call that everybody with a set of eyes who's watched a football game before can agree is a bad call and they get it wrong. I hope that that is not where we will be in a week or two from now talking about some team, luckily not the Bills, getting screwed by the league and then some, you know, half-assed explanation on Monday morning by Gene Steratore or the head of refereeing say, well, you know, we actually should have called that right, and the Bills or the 49ers really should have won that game, as if that matters. So, yeah, I mean, that's it for my ranting on this. But I just, it is a billion-dollar league. It's the biggest sports league in the world on the biggest stage with one game on the docket, and you can't get obvious calls right. It's beyond maddening. One job. You have one job. Okay, Tre'Davious White, and then we'll take some phone calls. Trey White, even from the very beginning, Trey White signifies, I think, something we don't talk about a lot, which is the first round pick that could have been and probably should have been Patrick Mahomes. The Bills trade out with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs move up, take Patrick Mahomes. They win 3 Super Bowls. Everybody knows that story. I don't have to recant it for you. But the Bills moving back and then ultimately taking Trey White, the first draft pick of the McDermott Bean era, and how it looked like it was going early on in his career, the first 3 or 4 years, gets the big extension. He looks like a top 7, top 8 corner in football, a perfect fit for this community, just everything you could want from a first round pick. And for it to go the way that it did after that, right? The ACL, and then as he's coming back and working his ass off to come back from the ACL, he tears an Achilles in a game that he was playing a great game in my home against Miami early in that season. And then to watch him try to revive his career in LA and it just very clearly not working and getting waived and then going to Baltimore and playing here in this stadium in a playoff game, you know, it never felt right to me. And I will be the first to tell you, I thought the signing was far more charitable than it was strategic. Like, oh, this is a great story, and, you know, we're obviously going to draft a corner early in this draft, and they obviously take Maxwell Harrison, and, you know, it was sort of like break glass in case of emergency. If Trey White has to play, you're screwed. And then, you know, the bullets start flying and training camp comes around and you're watching Trey White each and every practice just kind of look better and better and having young guys looking to him. I was like, okay, well, he's going to start the season because Maxwell Harrison's hurt and you're not going to play Dane Jackson. And, you know, we all like Jamarcus Ingram, but he's not starting football games for this team. And you just don't know, like, what you're going to get from this version of Trey White. And it just, every week, got better and better, even as they start to integrate Max Harrison into the lineup week in and week out, because you have to. He's your first overall pick in the draft, and he's coming off injury, and you want to see what this guy's got as you ramp up into the playoffs. And I'll say this, Harrison played really well. I mean, a couple of big plays he gave up, obviously in the Dolphins game when Trey White, when Christian Benford doesn't play in that Dolphins game, he gives up the touchdown to Waddle, but he's in position. And I thought every opportunity Max Harrison had to sort of say, like, hey, I'm here and maybe I'm ready to take this over in full time, every time it looked like that might happen, Trey White's making a play. And all of that to combined into what we saw today, which is a player that above all else stood out on a defense that made a lot of good plays in this game. I did not think, me and Jeremy White were texting back and forth early in this game about when they kicked the field goal to go up 13-7. And I said, a field goal here, Jeremy. And he said, I don't know, 13 points might win this game. You know, I kind of laughed at the moment, but they obviously scored a lot of points after that. And I just continued. There is so much confidence, I think, for me, and you may not fully agree with me, but the confidence I have on Trey White on the other side of Christian Benford right now is as high as it's been in a group of corners in a really long time. This team has always had one really good corner, right? For a while, it was Trey. And then the other side, it was like, all right, well, we can live with Levi Wallace. All right, maybe not Levi. All right, we can live with Dane Jackson. I don't know. And then, you know, well, Christian Benford, they might have something. Oh, Trey White goes down. So they've had one great corner. Well, we really hope that, you know, Elam's going to be great. He was terrible. And it just so happens that bringing back Trey White at this point in his career, it was not on my bingo card for him to solidify the cornerback two position in the manner in which he's done it, which is doing it and being the consummate professional, being a leader for a young group of corners while still sort of carrying the torch in the starting lineup, being an ear, you know, watching Max Hairston. I mean, could there have been a better scenario for Max Hairston, who goes down with a potentially season-ending injury? Turns out it wasn't season-ending. But is there a better guy to have in your ear than Trey White while you're going through your first real big injury of your career? It just worked so well, start to finish. He's so easy to cheer for. He's likable. He's a leader. He's a good person. He loves this community. He loves this team. He loves this organization. And I'm just so happy. I'm ecstatic for Tre'Davious White because he deserves everything that's coming towards him. And I'm so happy it was him today making these plays. And not, you know, I would have been just happy if it was Christian Benford. But watching Trey White do what he did today was one of the more gratifying moments of my lifetime being a Bills fan and watching this team both personally and recreationally and professionally. It just was everything you could want. And I don't know if this team's going to win a Super Bowl. I could tell you that they are as gritty, they are as hardworking, and as deaf to criticism as I've seen a Bills team. Because all week you have, I know the week started and the Bills were a 1.5 favorite and you got Liam Cohen, we're a small market and, you know, we love being the underdog and like whatever. They needed whatever they needed to, you know, to motivate themselves. But this team just quietly went about its business. And I, for one, and then we're going to, I promise we will get to some phone calls here. I had a lot of people in pregame tweeting at me about how, oh, it's a road playoff game. Sean McDermott will find a way to blow this. I have been Sean McDermott's biggest defender this year, and I'm a little pissed that a lot of you have pushed me to the point of having to defend Sean as much as I have. He's a damn good football coach. And beating the team that they beat today, who is vastly more talented and healthy, at full strength, the Bills have Ed Oliver and Max Hairston and some of the other injured players that they've had all season. I still think that's a Jaguars team that's more talented top to bottom. And just was they thoroughly outcoached Liam Cohen. I'm not surprised by it. It's his first playoff game as a head coach. But, I mean, for as many people that are ready to throw him under the bus any single time anything negative or bad happens, I think there should be a lot of people today and for the rest of this week giving Sean McDermott a ton of credit for the game plan, for the ability. All I hear of is how stubborn he is and refuses to change, while he brings in a Ryan Nielsen whose fingerprints are all over the evolution of this defense over the second half of the season, being blitz heavy. This has never been a blitz heavy team. They needed to out of necessity. And most of you would say that Sean would never have the ability to evolve past his own stubbornness, his own ego. These are words I'm throwing back in your guys' face because ego, stubborn, these are all things you guys use to describe Sean McDermott. And yet he went out there, let a guy who he's never worked with in his career come in and halfway through the season say, we need some of your principles in this defense because it's not working. Kudos to you, Sean McDermott. You deserve a lot of credit and not as much criticism as you get from the fan base and from the national media. He ain't going anywhere. And that might piss a lot of people off. And they might not win a Super Bowl this year. But in no way, even if they lost today, I still would have thought and I still would have defended Sean McDermott and think that he's not a guy that deserves to be fired. Let's get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Alvin in Buffalo kicks us off. Alvin, I apologize for ranting for 22 minutes, but I appreciate you bearing with me. Welcome to the Overtime Show.
That's okay. That's fine. So I want to run something by you guys. Like, we just faced the number one run defense, right? So how do you think we look like now running through the playoffs? What will we play being able to run the ball?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I would say that they'll have more luck on the run and potentially be a little bit more balanced than they were today. I'm not here to tell you I don't care about their running game because it is the league's number one running attack. It got them to this point. It's not winning you games in January. 17 is your best chance of winning in January. And he proved it again today. To me, standing, no doubt, best quarterback in football. But the best quarterback in football today went for an 80% completion percentage, throwing the football down the field to the ghost of Brandon Cooks, to, you know, guys that largely have either been waived or a fifth-round pick in Khalil Shakir, an undrafted free agent in Tyrell Shavers. I mean, a guy that has been a healthy scratch all year in Keon Coleman. Those guys deserve some credit, of course. But what he is doing with an offense that I don't think is particularly fit for his skill set. They finally started throwing. I'll tell you this. Do I think they'll be in better shape when they can run the ball for 150 yards and 5 yards a carry? Of course I do. But I think if they're going to win a Super Bowl, it's because that they're throwing the football down the field like we finally saw today on some level of consistency. By the way, that Brandon Cooks catch was a catch. Drop catch. It was a catch. Conclusive evidence you need to overturn. I saw nothing conclusive. Brad in Pittsburgh, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Brad.
Nate, thank you for taking the call, man. Tons of good points, dude. The refs were terrible. Brad Allen, I thought that they did like a grading thing on these refs and the best of the best get playoff games. Brad Allen's at the center of so many controversial calls.
Yep.
It's unbelievable he could be one of the refs. With that being said, what I wanted to talk about was, I believe it was before the field goal, we had a third down, Allen ran, if I'm correct. But before he went in the tent for a concussion, the whistle's blown, he gets taken to the ground.
Yeah.
41 comes in with a flying butt slam.
Right on his head.
Hulk Hogan leg drop, but it's a butt drop right on his chest and nothing.
I'm with you, Brad.
That was nuts, man.
I know. And on top of that play itself, like, there's a couple of plays from this game, and Brad, I have to take a break, so I'm gonna disconnect with you. I appreciate the point. I'm gonna build off this in just a second here. The couple of the design quarterback runs today, I would implore Joe Brady to go back to the 2021 season. I know, 13 seconds. Ugh. But the power runs they ran with Josh Allen, where they've got a pulling guard, multiple lead blockers in front of them, taking a snap and running into the middle of the offensive line is not really, I think, a very effective play. Especially there was a third down early in this game where, I think it was the second drive of the game, it's third and five, third and four, and it's Josh Allen catches the ball and just, it's ISO with Josh Allen. And I give him the chance to throw it or have a lead blocker, a down block and a pull. I don't know. It just... There's not enough creativity for me. They have two run plays. They have sweep and duo. And they work, right? I mean, most games they work. They didn't work today. They had no counter play in their run game today when they stopped duo and the sweep play. I feel like I need more creativity in a run game that is the number one in football, mind you. But still, just at times when it gets stopped, they just have no creative answers in the run game. You're stopping the pitch. Let's try duo. Oh, you're stopping duo. Well, I don't know what to do now. And at times, it's kind of felt like what it's been. Brewing Around the League. Let's get a quick check of the out-of-town scoreboard. Brewing Around the League is brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. 13-10, the current score in Philadelphia. Second half just getting underway. The 49ers with the ball. I think it's third down now. So there's your quick Brewing Around the League. Before we take a timeout, a reminder that tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will have the recap for you in the morning and the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Chopin Bulldog at 3. They'll, of course, have Eric Wood with them at 4 o'clock as well. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. 803-0550, the number to call. Would love to hear from all of you. I'm done ranting. I already feel like I'm losing my voice. Let's have you guys take over the show, get your takes in on the other side. You're listening to the Transiton Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford
and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, plating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Rest in peace, Bobby Weir. I hope Josh Allen made you feel good up there. I assume he's got to be a Bills fan. I mean, he's such a G. All right, welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. Let's get a quick eye on the quarterback, which is brought to you, of course, by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. MVP performance from Josh Allen, 28 of 35 for 273 yards, a touchdown, an 87.3 QBR, and a 108.7 passer rating. He also added 33 yards on the ground and two additional touchdowns. There's your, of course, your eye on the quarterback, brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. Let's get reconnected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And we've got Kevin in Buffalo, who's been waiting patiently. Kevin, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you.
Hey, what's going on, man? First of all, just want to say congratulations, Bills win. Always, as we say, you know, it's a Buffalo Bills, hold your breath till it's all over and said and done game. I loved it. My wife, she's screaming down there in North Carolina, calling me every 5 minutes. And I'm like, don't worry, we're going to get it done. But, yeah, shout out definitely to Trey White, man. The guy's been balling out, man. The guy's really been balling out, man. Next week is whoever we got. And as far as our injured guys is next man up, let's get it.
Absolutely, Kevin. Appreciate the call, man. Let's go to Matt in Rochester. Matt, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Matt.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. Just three sure. things real quick. You've already touched on them, but the Trey Wright story is just absolutely phenomenal. He's playing outstanding. But Shaq Thompson also, too, man, like a 10-year vet coming in and filling in and having that for us. The second thing is, who on earth knows what a catch is anymore? Because that Brandon Cooks, man, you talk about like swinging points the other way. That could have been 3 points at least for the Bills the yep. other way. And then just a legacy game for Josh Allen, man. Like, I'll hang up, listen to your call. I just wanted to say thank you, man.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate the call. 803-0550, by the way. We've got some open phone lines if you want to get your thoughts in. Legacy game, yeah. I think it just is another game in the legacy of Josh Allen being the most unbelievable playoff performing quarterback of all time. And that's not hyperbole. It's literally statistics. Number one rushing quarterback of all time in the playoffs. Number one passer rating. Number one QBR. He's unbelievable. When the stakes are high and his best is needed, Josh Allen just time and time again brings it in. And, you know, I mean, he willed them to a win today. And listen, in fairness to the haters, right, they said Josh Allen was going to have to put the team on his back. He was going to have to drag them to a victory against, by the way, a superior team, a more talented, a deeper, a less injured football team. And he did it. Adam in Laredo, Texas. Adam, good evening to you.
Nate, Gary, my golf-addicted brother from another Lake Gary. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Not to relight the fuse, but you mentioned it. I've seen it. Is it just me, or is the Sky Judge really quick on the trigger when it's a questionable call for us? But for other teams, it's like, oh, well, I don't know. Let's take a look at it. Let's see what Gene says.
Yeah,
let's see
right.
what Tony says. Oh, okay, they're going to challenge it? Well, yeah, turns out they were right. But
it's very frustrating. Yeah, it's very, very frustrating.
Thank Josh of Orchard Park threw the team on his back and got us to the promised land. And I'm just scrolling through X, watching all the Duval County receipts come due. And as a Bills fatalist, it's a little bit of schadenfreude for me, but you know what? What was it they said in Avengers? You have a God, we have a Hulk. We have a Josh Allen.
We do have a Hulk. His name is Josh Allen. There's no doubt about it. That was a good one. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate the call, buddy. Go Bills. We're going to take one more phone call before we take another timeout. We're also going to get a bunch of sound and player reaction from the locker room. Let's go to Ben and Wilson. Ben, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you.
Hey, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I just wanted to agree with what you were saying about the officiating in the game. Like, I just think it's super annoying how the refs will, like, buzz down as soon as, like, Jacksonville, like, had the ball. Like, Trevor Lawrence, like, his shin hit the ground, comes up short. The Sky Judge is, like, instantly on it. But as soon as, like, the Bills, like, have something go wrong. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like everything was working against us.
And I don't believe the league is rigged. But
right.
I guess my issue here is it's always been the lack of consistency. They have yet to really explain when, how, in what situations the Sky Judge is able to make a play. Like, I know they're not going to throw a penalty that hasn't been called. I get that. But I'm also just wondering, like, and Gene Steratore talks like everybody knows what he's talking about. Like, he is there to clarify the rules. And he's like, well, yeah, no, that's not going to come down from out there. They're going to have to challenge it. Well, why is that, Gene? Because I don't know why, because no one is, like, they just introduced this Sky Judge thing. There was no announcement about it. There was no rollout. There was no rule change. They rolled it out and explained to no one how and when they utilize it. It's really maddening, Ben. It's insanely frustrating.
It is. But I'll hang up. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Ben. I appreciate it. Actually, let's grab one more phone call before we take a timeout. I have a couple open phone lines at 803-0552. If you want to get your thoughts in, love to have you. Let's go to Jim in Fort Myers. Jim, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening to you.
Hey, it's Tim. But
Tim, sorry.
Good to catch up with you. No, you're good. Hey, love listening to another Bills win. Great, gritty win. Natural Buffalo boy. Miss watching the Bills live. But I got to tell you, I don't think you're so far off on this ref thing. We get the national feed down here. Before the game, they got Trevor Lawrence on camera and Sarah Thomas walking up to him, hugging up on him like she's a groupie at a Bon Jovi concert. I mean, it was pretty tough to watch. And then, you know, she stops just short of putting her room key in his pants and then makes two of the worst calls that I've seen since probably the Kansas City Chiefs game 2 years ago, right off the bat. And it was maddening to watch. And, you know, you think screaming at the TV from South Florida, man, I don't think they heard me, but it was tough. And I don't think you're off at all. And I just would love to see the NFL get their stuff together. But my bigger concern, I mean, we're down to the MASH unit wide receiver-wise. I mean, what options are there any options out there that the Bills can find to try to foister this up? Or,
yeah.
What do we do?
It's a good question, Tim. Thanks for the call. Here's what I'll say. I made this joke earlier about the Bills using the IR as essentially an additional active or inactive roster spot. I would imagine miraculously that tomorrow or Tuesday we hear that Curtis Samuel is starting to feel better and they might be opening his 21-day practice window. And it would not surprise me at all if he is playing and in the active lineup come Sunday or Saturday or whenever they play next week. Gabe Davis's season looks like it's over. And I would tell you that means there's an open active roster spot. It could be Mecole Hardman. I would be surprised if it was Mecole Hardman. So that's why it sort of leads me to believe that it could be. I don't know what the, you know, street free agent situation is at this point of the year. Like, I don't think you can just go sign somebody off the street. I literally do not know the rule because I've never been in a situation where you are down this many guys in an already, you know, bad room. But luckily, I'll say this about Brandon Cooks, who has stepped up, although, you know, he gets open. He needs to really start reeling these balls in because he's getting open and they need him to come down with those catches. You know, whether or not it was definitely a questionable call to have it overturned on the field. But they're going to need him to make those plays, you know, moving forward, because right now he's literally been their most reliable guy. And frankly, guys, they are going to have to, like it or not, rely on Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman is going to be a hugely important piece to this team. If the Bills win a Super Bowl, it's going to be because Keon Coleman stepped up. And I know that's not what you want to hear, and I know nobody wants to rely on that, but it's the situation that we currently find ourselves in. A reminder that tonight at 8:30 on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Chargers at the Patriots. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. Open phone lines, got two of them at 803-0550. Give us a shout. Let us know what you think about this game moving into next week. If you want to complain about the referees, I'm here for it. I'm normally not, but I am, because it was a terribly refereed game tonight in Jacksonville. I'm Nate Geary. This is the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Late orbit motion from Shakir. Makes the pass there. Looks for Kincaid, and he's got him! Who carries it into the end zone for the touchdown! Dalton Kincaid strikes from 15 yards out, and the Bills have the lead back again.
This is a good song. I'm just kind of letting it go. That is Chris Brown on the call. Always love a good Chris Brown call. He's electric, as the kids would say. I think that's what the kids say. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm your host, Nate Geary. The Bills, big win, 27-24. They advance to the divisional round for the fourth straight season. Maybe it's like forever straight. Is it seven straight divisional rounds?
Keep going with your math.
Is it seven?
It's not seven.
So they haven't lost in the wild card round other than 2019.
And 17.
So 6 years. Yeah. Six straight divisional rounds.
There you go. You got there.
All right, let's get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, your official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And let's go to Jamie in West Seneca. Jamie, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Jamie.
Good evening, Nate. The number one host on WGR 550, but I'm a little disappointed. The Nate level of excitement right now is at about a 3. We need to bring it up to a 10.
Listen. I'm working on it. All right, I'm working on it. I did you not hear my rant about the refs? I got to a 6 at least.
So I'm going to bring it up a level. So I'm outside smoking. saw your X feed. But here's the deal. Going through my closet tonight, I'm searching for, you know, jerseys. I got Beasley. I got Von Miller. And all of a sudden, I pull out a Trey White jersey, ACL, Achilles injury, and he plays a game like that on his 31st birthday week. Nate, please, if your level right now is at a 3, we got to bring it up to a 10. Hey, give it up. We got old guys that should be in wheelchairs.
Whoa, 31, Jamie. 31's not that old, okay? I'm 34. I resent that comment.
I love that. There's a Nate that we watched tonight. The excitement's brought back. But who would have thought after an Achilles and an ACL injury that Trey White is going to win the game for the Bills. Stop talking about Josh Allen. Stop talking about James Cooks. We got Trey White making plays to end games. Let's go, Buffalo, Super Bowl bound. Let's go, Nate, up to a 10.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call, Jamie. And thank you for listening. I spent some time. You might not have heard it, but I spent a couple of minutes giving Trey White his flowers. Hey, just, you know, it just couldn't happen to a better guy. And it couldn't happen to a guy in 31. If you would have told me he was 34, I would have believed you. It's kind of remarkable that he's only 31 in my eyes, right? I mean, he was drafted in 2017, so almost 10 years ago. The things that he went through, and again, like what Max Hairston has had to go through this year with the injury early and missing time and it being his kind of first big injury he's had in his career and missing time early in his career, there just wasn't a better guy to have in that locker room to be a support for your young rookie corner. And, you know, again, I think, I won't speak for you, Jamie, but when they signed him, again, it was sort of like, oh, that's nice, that's cute. Charity, we love Trey White. I love that he's back. It's a great story. Let's hope he doesn't make the roster, right? I mean, that's kind of just what we saw early in the season last year with the Rams. And then, you know, closing out, he kind of found a role as the dime corner in Baltimore last year. And for me, anyways, it kind of, after the Achilles, it kind of felt like the end of the road for Trey. And then he was going to be one of those guys that it's a flash in the pan, has a couple of great years, and then injuries just wear away at him. And he's never able to sort of get back to a level that you can count on him to be on the field for. And it's not even that he's played up to a level that is NFL worthy. It's that this was one of the best games of Trey White's career in terms of production. Three pass deflections in this game. And I know that it's easy to kind of look at a game like this and say, well, you know, it's not the best passing offense. And, you know, they got weapons. And he was like glue in coverage all afternoon long. It was really awesome to see. It's a game I won't soon forget because he's just such an easy, easy guy to root for. Thanks for the call, Jamie. I appreciate you, brother. A reminder, tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe will recap the game and take all of your calls tomorrow morning. Then it's the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Shope and Bulldog take things over from there at 3, and then we'll have Eric Wood with them as they always do on that Buffalo Bills Football Monday at 4 o'clock. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the Home of the Bills right here, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm Nate Geary. More, and we'll get an update from Derek on the other side as well, as we've got the 4 o'clock game currently underway, 16-10. Eagles just kicked another field goal, but San Francisco's got the ball and a big Kyle Juszczyk reception. He's got them at around the 30-yard line of the Eagles. I'm Nate Geary. Time to take a break, and this is the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show here on WGR.
Gilliam behind Allen. Here's the snap. There's the surge. And I think they largely let him score on purpose. There was not much impedance there as Josh Allen is in for the 1 yard touchdown run to give the Bills the lead with 1:02 left in the game.
Another banger, Tanner. I mean, they're Grateful Dead. They're all bangers. But Truckin' Up to Buffalo, right? Yeah. You know it. Okay. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. The Bills advance, or as Derek would say, survive and advanced in their 27-24 victory. I know you didn't make that up, Derek, by the way. I'm not crediting you for that, but you did say it in your update.
Yeah, where's my royalties?
Yeah, I don't technically think you get royalties. Your royalties are you get to be here with me to talk for every half hour.
Yeah.
You're welcome, brother. All right, let's get back to the phones, get connected with our fans, which is always powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Gregory in Atlanta, thank you for being patient. Greg, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Nate, big fan.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, the critique about the sneaking at the 1 yard line, like, I would have liked to run some clock.
Yes.
But, like, you got to trust the process. And, like, we got to score the touchdown. And I believe in our coach for sneaking it to the goal line. Just like he snuck through the TSA line like ISIS did for 9/11.
Come on. Come on, Greg. Hey, yeah.
It's creative. I'll give that to you. Let's go to Scott in Rochester. Scott, you're on the overtime show, Scott.
Thanks, Nate. I will try and avoid the ISIS reference.
Thank you. I do appreciate that.
But, yeah, I got a question for you real quick. But, man, if you didn't have a Rick Jenneret flashback today and start shouting trade A, trade A, trade A at the top of your lungs after that interception – that was spicy. But my question for you. All right, so there's a fine line between a hard-hitting defense and the word I keep coming back to. A very simple question for you. Did you think they were dirty? I thought Gabe Davis paid the price for that being a touch dirty. What do you think? Seemed like they were hunting knees, man.
I tweeted that they were hunting knees. They are... Let me put it this way, Scott. They are a very physical. That is them in, I would say, that division, the South, even Tennessee, like they weren't good. That is as physical of a football division as there is in the NFL, and maybe no more physical than Houston, but right below them is Jacksonville. I thought there were some questionable, very questionable sportsman-like plays. You know, hunting for knees, it is the NFL and by any means necessary. But if you wanted to go on that route, Scott, I don't think I'd talk you off the ledge.
Yeah, I was just curious what you thought, man. Great Sunday, man. Go Bills.
Yeah, no, thanks, Scott. Appreciate you, buddy. Listen, as a, you know, when I was still playing football, I wasn't exactly the biggest guy. When I was going into tackle, you can bet your ass I was not going in for a rugby-style tackle. I was... I think affectionately referred to by one of my coaches, and I don't know which one it is. I'm going to maybe ruin this. Actually, I think it might have been Coach Mize or Coach Privateer at Frontier that once nicknamed me Speed Bump because I would make the tackle. But, you know, it wouldn't be the most glamorous thing. And clearly they were using me as a speed bump. So thanks for the call, dude. Let's go to Andrew in Austin. Andrew, appreciate you hanging on hold. You're on the overtime show. Good evening.
Nate, good afternoon.
Yes, I should say afternoon for you. It's afternoon for you. That's a good call. Sorry, Andrew.
Me and my wife are in my kitchen this morning and she has flipped to a new mafia. My entire family has flipped, but you and Jeremy White this morning were listening to WGR, and you guys picked the Jaguars.
And yes,
and you know your assistant just talked about loyalty. How can you be on WGR and have all these Bills fans pulling, and you guys picked the Jags?
Well, just because I'm on WGR doesn't mean that I always have to pick the Bills. And I'll say this, Andrew. I don't want to say it's purposeful, but there is this thing where I'm wrong a lot. And sometimes we do this thing called the reverse jinx where, I just sort of lean into being wrong all the time, Andrew, and I'm happy that I was wrong today.
Man, how about Trey White?
I know.
He is absolutely coming on in the best time of the year. Any thoughts on Curtis Samuel and why he would magically pop in, and what are we going to do about this situation where we, you know, Shavers is really coming on, but
yes.
Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Your thoughts for the remaining two games?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Andrew. I here's what I'll say. I don't have this on good authority. I just have it on as they've done this before where, okay, there's a questionable injury. We need your roster spot. You're kind of irrelevant, go stand over there. And I think that's sort of how they've approached the IR at times this year. I think that's how they approached it with Jordan Phillips. He played in week 18. I don't believe he left the game with an injury designation. I could be wrong. I don't remember seeing one. And he ended up on the IR because they needed the roster spot and Fedarian Mathis outplayed him. I think it's very possible this week again, tomorrow, Tuesday. Oh, we're opening the window for Curtis Samuel. He's getting close. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But if not, it's going to be Mecole Hardman. That's why I think, you know, as much as it's been an underwhelming stint here in Buffalo for Curtis Samuel, they might need to lean on him. If he's healthy enough or close enough to play, I think there's a really good chance his practice window gets open. They're going to have a available roster spot for sure. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Tim in Buffalo. Hey, Tim, you're on the overtime show. Good evening, Tim.
Or something, but the call's done.
Tim, what you got? You're on the air, brother. Okay. Sorry, Tim. Let's go to Cole in Maine. Cole, you're on the overtime show. Good evening, Cole.
Hi, I'm just asking about when you think Eddie Oliver is going to come back to Buffalo.
Ooh, good question, Cole. It's a good question. I don't know. So he had a meniscus cleanup. So it's not the original bicep injury that he sustained. From what I've read, it's not a super long-term injury. I would think probably not this upcoming week, Cole. Maybe next week if they make it to the AFC Championship game.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
The U2 call. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kevin in Toronto. Kevin, you're on the overtime show. Good evening to you, Kevin.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
Just on a dog walk, and I had a couple of thoughts. It's pretty cold up here in Toronto, too, but the weather in Florida was maybe beneficial because the Bills are so used to playing in the elements. Anyway,
yes.
I was going to continue on and say, you know, there was a couple of points where the Jags defense were kind of launching, and the return on Ray Davis when he fumbled.
Yep.
That guy launched himself into, you know, both of the Bills players, and the ball came ajar. Then you know, I didn't like the play call on 3rd and 5 when they ran the QB draw at the midfield. And then the guy magically just kind of fell onto Josh and, like, his behind landed on Josh's helmet, and then there's actually a play on James Cook where he kind of like looked at the guy and was like, "You just diving towards my knees, bro!" Like, it was kind of a 3 yard out to James Cook, and he's kind of like wondering, like, "How are you tackling, man?" So, you know, it's not the first time we played the Bills have played the Jags, and they've been, you know, pretty aggressive that way. So, you know, owe an apology letter to Trey White. I was worried about Harrison being out. Maybe Harrison come back, but I just thought it was pretty irresponsible. Harrison was still in the game late last week, and I was worried about Trey. I mean, Trey played, you know, so did Cole Bishop. I didn't love Cole Bishop earlier in the year, and that secondary held up, and it was really good to see, and it was a pretty, you know, heroic performance by Josh, too. He was very sharp all game and dialed in, so it was pretty cool to see, but that's all I got, Nate.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call, Kevin. Listen, I don't disagree about last week. Listen, the Bills were in a tough spot. Sean McDermott even alluded to it, right? They had a fourth boundary corner on the roster, and they went after Darius Slay, and they lost that fourth corner. I think there's not a world where Max Harrison is playing at all in Week 18 if Jamarcus Ingram is still available for them. Trey White had to play the game. It's just, it's not the preseason. You've got really limited roster spaces in the regular season, and there's only so many guys you can sit. You know, it was tough. There's, you know, I mean, at the end of that game, they had Sam Franklin playing, and that's not a guy that's played a defensive snap all season. So just with the limited roster spaces available to them, that's a little bit of what they had to deal with, right? So, but I understand your point. Unfortunate, him and Ty Johnson getting injured in that game. Not ideal, obviously. Let's go to Jay in Georgia. Jay, you're on the overtime show. Good evening, Jay.
Hey, good evening. We were at the game. My daughter wanted to go, so we live in South Carolina. We drove to the game. Man, I'll tell you what, there were a lot of Bills fans up in that nosebleed area where we were at, and I lost my voice as soon as that interception happened. I mean, it was unbelievable. Everybody's hugging, and it was cool to see. There's Bills fans everywhere. So that's all I wanted to say. Go Bills.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jay. Listen, everybody knows Bills fans. They travel really, really well. And in this game, you know, I kind of thought Jacksonville was going to hold it down quite well. This is their first hosted postseason game, I think, since 2017, if I'm not mistaken, since the Bills first I think this is their first hosted game since then. And like, it's not just that it's their first hosted playoff game since then, but they also, they were a team, I think, listen, I know a lot of people thought that the winner of this game was going to go on to win the AFC and potentially the Super Bowl. I don't think that changes today. Even with the Bills winning, 2023 they hosted. Okay. Thank you, Derek. He's my in-house statistician. And I think that's still probably, I think people will probably still feel that way about this, even after this game. But I do, that is a really good Jacksonville team. I still think that even though the Bills were able to find a way to squeak that one out, that was probably the most complete team in the AFC. And the Bills, it came at a cost. You know, they lose Gabe Davis in this game, and they lost Jordan Poyer again in this game. And luckily, they're going to be opening DeMar. I know it's maybe not luckily to all of you. I know a lot of you don't love DeMar Hamlin on the field, but they're going to have somebody they could trust back there. That's going to be better than what we saw from the rookie today, who just struggled. There's no doubt in place of Jordan Poyer. So I would not shock me at all. I thought it looked like DeMar Hamlin was close. It looks like there might be two available roster spots for him to find his way back into the lineup. And I think, frankly, back into the starting lineup as soon as he's, you know, sort of available and ready to go. So that could be something I could watch. Luckily, I think for the Bills, they are getting some healthy guys back. And Cole calling earlier about Ed Oliver, that'd be another big one for the Bills to get, obviously. I mean, he's their, frankly, their best defensive player. So they really need him back in this lineup in a big, big way. Let's go to Cliff in Kentucky. Cliff, you're on the Overtime Show. Thanks for listening, Cliff. What's up?
So the wide receiver situation going forward. Now, Shavers, I think, is this generation's Don Beebe with almost getting that special.
Oh, man. How didn't he block that, Cliff? It was so close.
Well, I guess just because I'm getting in the playoff mode, I've been watching all these past things with the stadium, and Don Beebe's in there because of his catch during the Houston Oilers and his special teams play. And like, I'm like, is that Shavers now? Like, Shavers is a do-it-all kind of guy. And so he's going to have to step up with Gabe Davis out. And here's a name that, you know, I don't know if it's realistic or not, but, you know, nothing major, but Cooper from last year. Maybe we give him a call. I don't know if he's in game day shape, but well, I mean, what are we going to do at wide receiver? Play with what we have or just go heavy on tight end? I just want to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Go Bill.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Cliff. I mean, they have gone heavy tight ends. Ooh, Saquon Barkley getting helped off the field. They have been running heavy looks all year. With three tight ends. So I imagine that doesn't change. And to me, the only other option is really Mecole Hardman, because he's the only other guy that I think, let me look, Bills practice squad. Let's see who they've got up on the practice squad. I believe right now, at wide receiver, they have – no, this is active roster. I need the practice squad. Here we go. Okay, practice squad. They have Mecole Hardman or Steven Gosnell. That's right, the Virginia Tech receiver that they had during training camp that they liked. man, it would be something else if he was if he was playing next week. But they liked him in training camp enough to bring him back on the practice squad. But I think more likely than not, it's Mecole Hardman. He's done it in the league before. He's been around enough weeks now where, you know, if they ask him to get out there and play a role, that he could do that. So I'm leaning towards Mecole Hardman. But in my heart of hearts, I do think you're going to see a lot of conversation around Curtis Samuel's 21-day practice window opening this week. Again, I don't have any insider information on that, other than to tell you I think it would make a lot of sense if he's healthy enough. So something to watch. Let's go to Bob in Charlotte. Bob, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Bob.
No, it's Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob. How are you, Rob?
No. And it's funny because you've actually been on my small podcast before, Nate, and I just wanted to say you
already
know.
Oh, my man, Rob. What's up, bro?
You already know I'm a McDermott detractor. I would be remiss tonight to not give him his flowers on behalf of Nickel City Crew. I mean, McDermott did his thing, and he stood up. His defense stood up when it needed to stand up in the fourth quarter. And to be honest with you, Nate, I'm just I'm excited because I was one of those Bills fans that did feel like that this was the biggest test. So it's almost like a reverse Matrix or a Tenet movie, like where we're, you know, this was probably the hardest test. And I know that Houston does present a formidable test, but I think like we're kind of rolling in reverse, Nate. Like, I think that we can get to the Super Bowl. I'll let the chips fall from there. You already know that about me, being a guest on my co-host, on my podcast. But I promise you, I think we're working in reverse order. Today was the hardest test. And from there on out, I don't care. We'll go to Denver. We can go to Denver next week and take care of business and win the AFC and go ahead and go to the Super Bowl the week after. It was a really, really great game. And McDermott, he did his thing. I've got to give him credit. I have to.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for listening, as always. Yeah, here's what I'll say, too. I think I like where your head's at on kind of the reverse ordering of this, right, which is playing the most difficult team in round one and then kind of getting easier as you go through. I just don't know that I believe there's actually going to be a true easy out, right? Like, if the Bills end up in Houston, I mean, that is just as good of a defense and a defense that beat you and beat you good. You know, whatever it was, seven weeks ago. I would say if the Bills end up going to Pittsburgh, please, Lord, I've seen what you've done for others. I want you to listen to me today, and I want you to hear me say, please send us to Pittsburgh next week. That would be amazing. If Pittsburgh could find a way to upset Houston and it's Bills in Pittsburgh next week, more than likely, though, if Pittsburgh wins, it'll more than likely be the Bills going to Denver. I just think the defenses, and then I obviously have the Patriots, but I just think with the defenses that are currently out there remaining in the AFC, I just don't see a quote-unquote easier test other than playing inferior offenses. That was one of the hottest offenses in football. So that is something we can agree on, that they will likely face easier offenses. But I'll tell you, New England, I mean, Drake May is probably going to win an MVP, or he's going to be the runner-up for MVP. He's had a hell of a season. We know how that went. Say what you will about C.J. Stroud. He hasn't had the best season. He really hasn't had the best better part of two seasons now. But he is – the dog's in there, and it could come out at any time. And they still have Nico Collins. So, like, that's not necessarily a team I'm looking at and saying, well, that's an easier matchup. I don't think the Chargers are going to be good enough to withstand their backup offensive tackles getting in the way of them. But that's a good defense, a really good defense. And if the Bills have to play the Chargers, I don't think the Bills have good enough pass rushers to take advantage of the issues they have on the edge either. So I don't hate the point. I think that it has largely been over-talked about this route or this being the year, this is Josh Allen's year or bust. I think this might be the deepest field in the AFC in some time, maybe since Josh Allen and the Bills have become relevant. And I know that means there's no Joe Burrow. I just mean in Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. The defenses. I mean, I think in this AFC that two of the best three defenses in football exist here. And I think everyone outside of Buffalo still remaining in the AFC is all probably in the top seven or eight in overall defense in the football. So it's going to get harder. I think that it'll get easier. But overall, I don't hate the point. I think this is a deeper AFC pool than people want to give it credit for because it doesn't fit their narratives. Let's go to Bob in Orlando. Bob, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Bob.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much, brother.
Derby native, and I'm in Orlando. I've been down here for the last two games when New England and Cleveland, and I came down this weekend with my wife to win this frigging game, and we did so, and let's just go. That's all I got to say.
Thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate you, buddy. Let's go to Steven, another Florida resident. Steven, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
You're right.
You there, Steven? Hello. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, good evening. Okay, so all week long, I kept hearing from all the so-called experts, the Jaguars are the better team. And, some of them are even making it sound like the Bills don't even stand a chance. You know, they're going to shut the Bills down running game, which, you know, they did to an extent. But here's the thing I want to say. I told people from the outset of this season, I said, Buffalo is going to make a statement starting with the Ravens. We're on a mission. and it's to take this franchise back to the Super Bowl and this time win it. You saw what they did to the Ravens. Later in the season, you saw what they did to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think it's any coincidence that neither one of those teams after that made the playoffs. But here's the thing. Even with, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars getting some chunk plays, especially with Parker Washington against the defense, this defense has been peaking at the right time. Keep in mind, we didn't have Ed Oliver in this game. Michael Hoyt's been out, okay? Yep. And then the Maxwell Harrison. So what the Bills did defensively was phenomenal. I mean, they picked off, you know, Trevor twice, and then also got a sack on him, okay? And then on offense, okay, so you know what? Here's the thing. Josh Allen, this is the best player in the league, and he proved that again today. Okay, we're not running the ball like we're normally used to. Then we're going to step it up and just pass on this team. And I told a buddy of mine in the last 4 minutes of the game, I said, watch. The Bills were behind. I said, Josh Allen is going to rush for the winning touchdown. That 9-yard or 10-yard push, they got to the goal line, and then after that, he scored the touchdown. And I'm telling you, this man has proven when he's on the field, as long as he's healthy, never count the Bills out. They will find a way to win, and they're going to go all the way this year. I don't care who they play in the rest of the playoffs leading up to the Super Bowl and who they go up against there. I know the Bills, this is their year to finally win the big one because, you know, the send-off they had last week at the Highmark Stadium, that gave them the impetus they needed. And so I'm just really thrilled. I was laughing hysterically when Tre'Davious White tipped that ball and Cole Bishop caught it. That was just phenomenal. So go Bills and do what we know you can do. Win the big one.
Thanks, Steven. I appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I will say too, early, I was definitely it felt very good to watch them when they didn't have the run game, know that they are capable of winning a game against a good defense when they can't run the football. Because I really, up to that point, I don't really think they proved that at any point this year. So I do think that was really important. All right, let's get a quick brewing around the league, and it's brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. 19-17, and the 49ers are now driving. There's about 5:20 left in the fourth quarter. The Eagles kicked another field goal. And the 30-yard line right now for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to take a timeout on the other side. We're going to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We're also going to hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen. That's all coming up here on the other side. This is the Transitown Jeep Dodge Chrysler Ram Overtime Show on WGR. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. Let's head to the locker room and hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen following their 27-24 victory. And that's, of course, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. There's QB1, Josh Allen, following their big 27-24 win in the wild card round against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that locker room audio is always brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
First road win. What's the significance of that to you?
To me, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It means that we were good with our communication on offense. Defense made plays, obviously. Now we have a chance to go do it again.
Third year in a row, you've had that chance to put the ball in your hands, which is what you want, to finally get through that and come through. What does that feel like for you?
Feels good. At the same time, again, that just means that we get another game. And we got to go find a way to put our best foot forward this week in practice, put together a good game plan, go out there and execute again next Saturday or Sunday, whenever we play.
Josh, your message to your teammates before that final drive, anything you said to them?
Just I love y'all. I got you. You got me.
Did you take this into the when you had to come off the field there and you went the tent, the knee, and just those moments when I'm sure goes through your mind of how bad is it?
You're saying the touchdown? Yeah, it was more of a precautionary thing. Just got rolled up on, and they want to take a quick look, but we're all good.
What happened
Last drive, you guys, it just seemed like you were very under control. There was no rushing, there was no panic. Kind of take us through what it's like in that situation.
Yeah, relying on each other. Put in something this week, and we ran it there at the last drive with B. Cooks running down to the post. Saw a look, and we executed it. It felt good to know we have all three timeouts. We had enough time on the clock to run our offense. There was no panic, no rush.
Cooks obviously joined this team partway through. Could you tell us a little bit about just your relationship with him as it's progressed to this point since he got to the team?
Yeah, it's been awesome. A true pro's pro. Does everything the right way. He's always in the building. He's always learning. Always on the sideline getting extra catches. Just does everything the right way. And then he's a hell of a teammate. We love having him here.
Josh, what is it like watching Trey tip that pass at the end?
It was awesome. It was awesome. Again, a guy that's been under a lot of scrutiny throughout, the last couple of years, and to get him back and to get him back in a Bills uniform and making plays for us when we need it the most, that's Trey.
Josh, you talked about how this team is battle-tested, has gone through adversity this season. How do you feel like that maybe manifested itself in the way that fourth quarter played out?
Yeah, to have the wherewithal to, again, not blink, and I think that's just the mantra that we've adopted this year of, if we've got time left and we got the ball, we got a shot. And you saw that there today.
Josh, it kind of felt like this was a little bit of a microcosm of the season, right? Like, you guys are down late, you need to do something, you do. How much did that help you guys prepare for this moment?
A lot. We feel like we've been in situations like this, and now every game presents itself in a different way. But to understand the moment, to not ride the wave, again, that was stuff that we've learned throughout the entire season. We were able to utilize that and use it today.
How was it to this field with the pressure of each game and having to come back out after the Jaguars took the lead? What was the feeling of the team coming back onto the field?
Do your job. That's it.
This will be the most cliche question I ever asked, but this was kind of the definition of complimentary football, right? The fourth down stop, the defense got early. At the end, was this like the quintessential complimentary game?
100%, no turnovers on offense. I know we had a rare one on special teams. Even the first drive, though, getting the ball backed up, getting a few first downs, being able to flip the field. Our defense making a huge stop on fourth down near the goal line. And then again, just finding opportunities and being able to punch the ball in the end zone, and we did that today.
Can you take us through the sequence of punching it in on that, where it's an 11-yard tush-push, which might be a record if it comes through, and then maybe the confusion, do you want to score here? Maybe it's okay that we didn't score. I mean, what's going through that whole thing?
Standing right here, right now, we did the right thing.
Which was?
Score.
You wanted the touchdown there, not you taking the time off clock, all that stuff, right?
Hindsight's 20/20, but at the end of the day, We got it done, and that's all that matters.
Josh, what is it like when you are in that pile of people? I remember Connor McGovern telling me once, it's just a lot of groans and weird noises. When you're the guy with the ball, what is happening around you, and what's going through your head?
Yeah, sometimes you don't really know what's going on. My feet are kind of off the ground, and you really can't do anything. So just in that moment, just holding on to the football as tight as I can.
Did you feel like they might have let you go in there because they wanted the ball back? It was pretty easy for you.
But again, you sit there, you can say, hey, let's take a knee, you lose some yards, and you don't score there, then now you're kicking yourself for not scoring earlier. So, again, we did what we thought was right, and it turned out to be.
The reason we're asking is because it was in retrospect, kind of funny to watch, 11-yard touch push. Osiris is, dragging you in there. Are you trying to go down, at some point, or?
I'm not thinking about that. My job is to help get the ball in the end zone, and that's all I was trying to do.
A lot of your pass catchers made plays. When you went to Shakir, he caught a ball. What did he mean to you today?
That's Khalil Shakir. To have that reliability, to have that safety valve, if you will, he's tough as nails, just continues to do his job, and he finds himself in big spots, and he makes the plays for us, and that's because of how hard he works and how much he loves his teammates.
Josh, apologies if you've been asked this, but what happened on the play where you came up limping a little bit, and where is that? What is that?
The one in the touchdown?
Yeah.
He just got rolled up a little bit. Sometimes those get a little funky when you got a lot of big dudes at your feet. So, yeah, but we're good.
You guys won so many games off James's rushing. Today that wasn't happening. Was there a point in the game where you felt like the opportunities were going to have to be through the air?
Yeah. Again, we tried to continue to do it, and that's a really good defense, a good run defense especially, and we know that moving forward we're gonna need to rely on James, and you know, sometimes it's the product of who you play, and we just found a way to win. Hey guys.
Love Cole Bishop in here shortly.
There's QB1, Josh Allen, following their big 27-24 win in the wild card round against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that locker room audio is always brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We're going to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll close things out tonight with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. That's after a quick timeout. This is the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
All right, welcome back to our final segment here on WGR. Welcome to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. Here's Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
We're the welcoming committee.
What have you been up to?
Having a heart attack. What about you?
Same.
Yeah. Oh, man, great win. Great team win on the road. Glory to God. Man, just an incredible team effort. Great win for the organization, great win for everybody back home, and for all those that came down here and supported us. Bills Mafia, man, we heard you. We really appreciate it, really do. Just tough football team. Guys, some of the guys went down, some guys stepped in, did a phenomenal job. Nobody blinked. Kept our composure all the way through the game, which we knew was going to be a challenge coming down here against a really good football team that's talented and well-coached. And we saw it through. So guys stood firm, and you know, they made the plays. We made the plays we needed to make, and it was a great way to end the game right there. So good to see kind of Trey, right, and 2017 and what he's now doing for us, and then Cole, kind of the other end of the youth movement here. So phenomenal play. So time is yours.
We've asked you to reflect on Tredavious' journey a lot this season, but just what did he mean to the team today with those pass breakups ahead of the last tip play too?
Yeah, I mean, you just, it's probably a better question for Trey in terms of his journey, but if you just follow his journey from the time we got him, well, if you go back a step or two, you know, he was at the Rams, and you watch him from afar. Like, we're sitting in Buffalo, he goes from the Rams to Baltimore, and he ends up on, you know, the season with them. We end up playing him, and then to get him back, and you just think about, I mean, when he came back, he still wasn't really Trey. Because he was working through two major injuries. And yet in Trey's fashion, there's nobody that works harder. And he's gotten himself back now to where he is. He's playing really good football. And credit to him and the work that he's put in, and our medical team as well. Just overall, he's just as good as there is in terms of his determination, his heart, and his really resilient nature.
You think about his journey back to this moment, and just a minute ago in there, he wanted no part of the conversation about himself. Does that surprise you?
Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, you look back in 2017, and the word that we had gotten about him was, you know, he was one of the true leaders on that team in college, I'm talking about, right? And so the intangibles, right? You can build a team with, you know, said people and this and that, but it's about intangibles and toughness and how that those intangibles and toughness fit into an overall vision for a team and the culture of a team. And there's, in my estimation, no substitute for toughness.
John, along those lines, intangibles and toughness, I mean, I think those words probably describe your quarterback about as well as any two. First, the toughness to, you know, he's in the sideline medical tent a couple of times in the first half, to come back from that and then to lead the drives when you needed to have it at the end of the game. What did you think of it?
Well, it trickles down from him in terms of the team's toughness. I mean, he's, when your quarterback's that type of warrior, that type of competitor, it just, like I said, from a leadership standpoint, it just goes through the whole team. And we got to get him as healthy as we can, though, for next week. So it's not something we take lightly. And I did think overall that, you know, he took some hits today, but there was also times where we protected him well. And I think he got registered three. They had three hits and one sack. So credit to the O-line on that.
Coach, the fourth down play in the first half there, the Marrins carry from on fourth and two. Usually you don't get the benefit of the doubt on those reviews for spotting the ball. What made you feel like it was worth doing, and was it the magnitude of that play that convinced you it was worth the risk?
Yeah, it was a great job by the guys up top. You know, and then the magnitude of the play, it was close, we felt like, and I felt like it was worth the challenge at that point from a fourth down situation.
Did you get an explanation at the end of the first half? It certainly looked like the clock was at zero. Was there any explanation given?
No, other than they felt like it wasn't, and that they had one of our players offsides there.
I know that you guys don't pay attention to the outside noise and things said, but all the talk about not winning a road playoff game, to be able to come here and win a road playoff game, what does that do for a team to galvanize them? And is it something that you guys made sure of to say, hey, let's put that to rest?
I mean, yes and no. We were aware of what some of the talk was, but at the end of the day, the game's decided between the white lines, and our guys knew that. They knew we were going to go up against a heck of a football team today. And a well-coached football team. I mean, where were they, 8-1 over the last 9 or 7-1 over the last 8? And pretty healthy team overall, so which we've been battling through injuries really the entirety of the season, so including today. So our guys are tough, resilient, and, you know, there's a lot that we need to work on, though, too, as we go back to work this week. But, you know, couldn't be more proud of the guys and the entire team and coaching staff as well, and what they did to stick with it. I thought the offense in the second half was really good, and then the defense made the stop at the end to get us the win. So special teams did some good things as well, baked in there, but plenty to work on still as we move forward.
On a day where your running game wasn't rolling, to be able to win offensively in a different way, how big is that for this group?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be a two-dimensional offense. You guys know we talk about that quite a bit, and You got to be able to pivot if the run game isn't working. I thought Joe did a really good job in that regard at times. And, you know, the hitting the strike down the middle to Cooksey there, huge play. And, you know, we made the plays that we needed to make when we needed to make them. And I think that's really the story behind it.
Sean, when you look at your regular season, it would be great if everything was smooth, but it doesn't work that way. How much did that prepare you for a day like today when having to come back from stuff and keep moving forward?
Yeah, it builds character. I mean, you go into every season you're hoping and praying that there's no adversity, but, I mean, we've all been around this long enough to know that there's going to be adversity. It's just a matter of what form it comes and how big it is. And we've really been dealing with it, you know, quite a bit of the year, and I think you learn from it, and the team does, and because you got some young guys who've never been through it, and you know the college game is somewhat different. The journey of a season is long in the NFL, and especially if you're into the playoffs. So this is a good kind of experience for our young guys to see the crowd and how ready you got to be this time of year in particular.
What did you see from your defensive players as they prepared to get on the field for that last drive and the execution
to get that stop? The defensive staff, I was clicking over back and forth between the offense and the defense while we had the ball on offense. And, you know, they were doing a really good job of communicating and making sure everyone was on the same page, because that was going to be important that, you know, from a communication standpoint, they had no timeouts, they were going to be on the ball. So that was the start of it.
Was there any conversation about right before the final touchdown about kneeling or trying to take more time off the clock before that one?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we know from a game management standpoint that they have a phenomenal field goal kicker and can hit from, what, he hit from 68 or something like that last week or whenever it was. So, like I said, I went out in pregame and thought about not going out so I wouldn't get, you know, in awe of how strong, I mean, the guy's kicking it from East Aurora, basically, you know, which is in Buffalo, for all those that you don't know. So, Western New York, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I mean, we knew that it was going to be tight. We practiced those situations, though, when you only can really give up X amount of yards, and if he uncorks a 70-yard field goal, I mean, that really only left us a few yards right there. So, when Bobby knew it, did a great job, players executed. That's what it really came down to, is great execution. I mean, that it seems like that's where the game's going. If you look at, you know, around the league, there's a few of these guys that can just unload kicks from all over the place, right? And punters as well. So I don't know. I don't know what they're eating or anything. But
related, what was your thought on Matt Prater and heading into the game? The decision to go with him and the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about resilient. Here's a guy that really couldn't finish the game last week. He has the week he has. The look in his eye was phenomenal. I mean, when your kicker's tough, that says a lot too. Your punter, I mean, Mitch has had to take over his Matt's kickoff duties, and there was no flinching there either. So Reed does a good job of you know, from those are three veteran players right there that have been around a little bit, been around the block. But man, their toughness also rises to the surface.
Was that the plan going into the game with Mitch handling kickoffs, or did something happen pregame to Matt?
No, that was the plan, yeah.
The scene at Josh's locker is kind of consistent over the last month or two. I mean, he's taking a lot of punishment, did again today. How's he doing this?
What was the scene?
He's kind of sitting there kind of looking like he'd just been in the battle.
Because he has. I mean, he's a warrior, and you know, everybody, that's the name of the game, is you got a quarterback, they're going to want to hit the quarterback, they're going to want to affect the quarterback. They got a great defensive line over there that rushes well, and a couple first-round picks at least. So Matt Edwards over there does a great job. And, you know, so, but you go back to, let's just go back to we can talk about the result, but what leads us to the result and the process of the preparation and the hard work during the week and getting your rest and all those things, because rest is not easy this time of year, but it's important. And so that process, that preparation piece is what led us to the result today.
Sean, you mentioned resilience a few times. Shaq Thompson comes in after playing only six games in the last 2 years before coming to Buffalo. Interception early in the game, obviously the tackle on Trevor Lawrence. What has he meant to this defense?
Yeah, that play was huge. You know, TB has done a great job for us. Unfortunately, TB's been banged up, right? So, what if we didn't have Shaq? What, you know, it's so that piece is important for us, and It's the play that he made came up during the week. I believe it was a very similar play, at least, to the play we ran during practice, and we ran it over again, and it showed up today, at least in some form or structure, and he picked it off, which is, again, you go back to practice and the preparation, and I know that sounds like coach speak, but there's value to practice and doing things the right way during the week.
What were you going through in that last play? Because you've been in that situation so many times. What was going through your head after he scores? You got 1 minute to protect a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I really honestly wanted to try and bleed the clock down if we could, but it's like, okay, what plays that you have that do that? You want to take a knee. I mean, we could go through this for probably about an hour and talk about this. You take a knee, you're back. I mean, the ball's inside the one. By the time we take the snap and even just knee it, then you're like, okay, run the clock down to, 30 seconds, 28, whatever. So we're talking about these things, and I'm going, man, I know who they have on that side of the ball at a minimum, starting with the place kicker. And so we're like, all right, let's not get cute. Let's just go win this thing, put our defense out there, and they did. They executed at a high level. So, and a lot of prayers, too. They helped.
Any update on Gabe or Jordan?
No. No, nothing for you at this point.
Okay. Hey, Sean.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We will be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. sharp, for Buffalo Bills Football Monday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. For me, Nate Geary, and Tanner Saunders, we appreciate you listening to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.